For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
Not getting knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. Not getting knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Mark McCloskey on fire. Well, you know, we normally start each week with a comment about how every single thing you hear in the mainstream media and from politicians is a lie. Some of them are bigger lies than others, but almost everything you hear, if you believe the exact opposite, you're probably closer to the truth. And one of the things that we've been focusing on in this program for a long time now is a way that the powers that be in D.C. right now and the mainstream media have created this myth of the insurrection surrounding January 6th and the way the government has persecuted ordinary citizens who were there, a lot of whom were just minding their own business, a lot of whom were just peacefully and patriotically protesting the way that President Trump advised, in the presence of agents provocateur and a lot of bad actors that were more likely true than not working on behalf of the government to stage this event for the purposes of creating exactly what's happened since, this false narrative of a insurrection which threatened democracy and has to be put down at all costs. Thousands of people now have been arrested. Hundreds of them have been forced to plead guilty to bogus charges, including terrorism enhancements under a bizarre statute, which was in front of the Supreme Court, Title 18, Section 1512, C2, which is, I was saying this earlier today, what a bizarre world it is. What kind of evil practitioners are out there? They can find a single line in a statute designed to keep you from killing people, because the statute, the first section of the statute is, whenever whoever kills or attempts to kill another person with the intent to prevent the attendance or testimony of any person in an official proceeding, find a single line in that statute which they can use to say people who are led into the Capitol building by the Capitol Police, walk around it for a few minutes and leave, are terrorists that were obstructing a governmental proceeding and need to have 20 extra years in prison. So we've had a number of those January 6ers on the program who have been subject to that obstruction charge. But we have a young lady on the program today that has been intimately involved in not just bringing to light the fraud and the lies that the government has espoused about January 6th, but also specifically raising money for and helping the families of the people that are being persecuted by our government. And her name is Cynthia Hughes. She's the founder of the Patriot Freedom Project, and welcome to the program.
Oh, it's so great to be here with you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about how you went from being an ordinary New Jersey housewife to being a champion of the Patriot Freedom Project.
it's quite the story. You know, I'm kind of a person of action, if you will. And, I have a nephew who got caught up in this, unfortunately. And, when I got the phone call, that he had been arrested, I was quite shocked because he's a really good kid and, you know, he doesn't get in trouble with the law. He was in the Army for, close to 12 years. And, I remember very clearly I was making breakfast. It was a Sunday morning, and my husband is a cop here where we live, recently retired. And I said, we gotta find him. We gotta locate him. You know, we jumped right into action. And he initially made bond here in New Jersey. We had a very fair judge, and we thought he was, you know, going to come home. And but D.C. swooped right in and filed an emergency motion and demanded that he be, you know, dragged around the country and eventually, you know, held in the D.C. jail where he was in solitary confinement. And, you know, he had a public defender who was unable to separate his personal contempt, if you will, of the previous president. And, you know, Tim is, you know, he's very, very smart and he knows what he's doing. He's practically a lawyer now. And, you know, he said to me, I am not going to move forward with him. I'm going to, you know, represent myself. And if I had known then what I know now, I probably would have let him. You know, I probably wouldn't have tried to talk him out of it so much. So I just kind of went on a crusade, you know, because he didn't have access to the phone, and he really couldn't do for himself like, you know, he should have been allowed to, you know, being in prison, because, you know, COVID kept these guys, you know, very restricted from, you know, doing what they needed to do for themselves. So they had to rely on the people out here and their family, you know, or their friends to help them. And so I went on a crusade to find an attorney for him that we could afford to handle the criminal charges, but also to handle, you know, the matter with the army, because they moved to separate from him instantaneously. They did not even wait until, you know, his charges were adjudicated. So we, you know, we I just I you know I just moved real fast to find him a lawyer, and we did.
Yeah, you know, as we always say in this program these days, yeah, instead of being innocent until proven guilty, you're guilty until proven Democrat.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That is really the truth. And you know, Tim was very, very active and very busy inside the, you know, the jail. He was like, you know, this is not a joke. I'm going to see my discovery, and I'm going to look at it and go through it with a fine-tooth comb, which he did when he got it, the drips and drabs as he got it. You know, I found a lawyer for him, and we actually got that lawyer appointed to his case by the court. And I just kind of felt like, you know, we need to spread the word and talk about this. And before I knew it, I was just fundraising for everybody. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, let's back way up then and talk about January 6th and talk about what Tim actually did that day.
Tim did nothing that day. Okay. Tim did nothing that day. Tim regards the law. Tim regards the military, you know, and he has great love and affection for President Trump. So, you know, he went to the Capitol. He went to hear what, you know, he thought was going to be, or what was, a historic speech, and had no idea what he was walking into. You know, he went, he listened to the president. He had a suit and tie on. You know, he was in good spirits. He had just come off like a overnight shift. He was, you know, revved up to see, you know, his favorite president, well, his second favorite president. You know, after the president said, you know, make your voices heard, and, you know, let's walk peacefully, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what Tim did. And little did he know what he was walking into. And so, in true Tim form, you know, when he got to the Capitol, he saw, you know, lots of people being hurt. He saw senior citizens being hurt, you know, and he jumped right, you know, right into action to, you know, help people up off the ground that were laying on the ground. And, you know, he was just looking around, you know, what is going on here? You know, he went in the building. He went in the building. He did not go in the Senate rooms or the state room. He did not go in the chamber. He was in the crypt. He was in the building for maybe 30 minutes. He walked around. You know, admired the artwork. Tim's a big history buff. He was a history major in college, and that is what he did, Mark. And for that, they said, you're a terrorist and you're going to jail
Yeah,
forever.
I think that the part I like the best in your book that you wrote about this is where he had a flag with him, and they asked him, they asked a witness, what was he doing in the crypt with that flag? And they said he was dancing.
Yes. Yes, that was one thing about Tim. Tim is very, I guess you could say, crass in a lot of ways. You cannot get this kid to break a sweat. Okay, you know, it's like, Tim, clean your room. Okay, you know, I mean, just in hypothetical, right? You know, he's very patient. He's very calm. He thinks things through. He's very level-headed. And so, when he was on the stand in that trial, they could not break this kid. They could not shake his walls, Mark, no matter what they did. We had one of the worst prosecutors, and she was determined to try to shame him. It didn't work. Literally, my nephew was on the stand without a book and recited like almost half of the, or the whole thing of the, like the 18th or 19th Amendment. And everybody was just like, what's happening here? We had a good lawyer, you know, at trial. I don't, you know, John was a good dude, a good lawyer, but he wasn't strong enough. And Tim's case was one of the most egregious cases that never got talked about. You know, Tim took a lot of hits for other people that are going to go get sentenced now. There was a, you know, precedent set in his at his sentencing where he could have appealed it and he might not have stayed in prison as long as he did. But he chose to not appeal it so it would help other people. Yeah. He's just good that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I always bring out with all the January Sixers we've had on the program is that part of their crime were their political beliefs, that they were constantly trying to get talked into admitting that they voted for Donald Trump or that they were Republicans. And even in Tim's sentencing, I don't have the quote memorized, but the judge basically said, because of your political opinions, I don't think the sentencing guidelines give me enough ability to put you in prison and for as long as I think you should because of your political ideals. Which yeah. seems a little different than what we ought to expect in the United States of America with the First Amendment.
It's true. It's true. It's very, very true. Tim did not go to prison because, you know, he did something wrong on January 6th. Tim went to prison because of what he thinks. And in the country we live in and the world we live in now, you can't think for yourself. They don't want you to, especially in this country. Right. And so we had a Trump appointed judge who I thought was going to be pretty fair with Tim. Some might say that maybe he was fair. I don't think he was fair at all. He knew that Tim should not be in prison. He knew that Tim should have been bonded out. He knew the day he sentenced him that kid should have walked out of that courtroom with me. Yeah. He wanted to make an example out of Tim, and he didn't like the things that Tim said. He didn't like the things that Tim read. And for that, he was going to punish Tim. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Well, it's as if a mass hysteria has taken over the federal judiciary. And, you know, for example, and you know this better than most, the typical tactic is for the FBI to show up in force, kick in your doors, flashbang your house, haul your family out at gunpoint, make them kneel on the ground, even if all you're eventually accused of doing is trespassing on government property. I mean, yeah. No one gets treated like that. And I'll go back to my personal reference of the 350 to 500 BLMers that crashed through my gate, destroyed it, stormed my house and threatened to kill me, rape and murder my wife, burn down my house, burn down my office.
I remember.
Kill my dog. Not a single one of those people got charged with anything. Not a single one did a day in jail. But people who were merely present in D.C. have gotten sentences for years.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. But might I say, your wife is quite the warrior. You know, I remember what happened to you and your wife very clearly. We all saw it, and bless her heart, she wasn't taken. You know what, that day.
Well, you know, and, when she shows up on the grass in front of me, waving that dumbass little Brico pistol over her head, and you know, it was. I knew I'd married the right woman.
you did, Mark. You did. But you know, the sentencings, let's talk a little bit about the sentencing. So in my book, I talk about, you know, one of the families. Her name is Rachel Powell. Rachel Powell is from the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. mother of eight, young, had her first child, you know, at a young age. She's had, you know, a bit of a tough life, no criminal history. She's very, very passionate about her politics, maybe a little more than some. Her youngest child is about to turn 8 years old next month. And they put her in prison for 5 years. Now she did break a window, Mark. I mean, it's the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. but the window was like, you know, yay big. And for that, they said, you know, you should rot in prison for 5 years. I don't even know what to say about it. Now she's got one of the worst judges, Judge Lamberth. He's like, you know, 117 years old and he walks with a walker. And he has no business being on the bench. And he might be the most wonderful man, and I have no doubt that he is. You know, probably a great, you know, grandfather, great-grandfather, because, I mean, I'm not kidding you. He's close to 90 years old. Mm. He falls asleep on the bench, okay? You don't get a fair trial in Judge Lamberth's courtroom. It's just the facts. He doesn't like when people talk about him. And he has literally brought that up in people's sentencings, and he did bring that up in Rachel's sentencing. She had a very passionate statement to read. There was not a dry eye in the courtroom. We were all there, her children, her friends. I was there. Julie Kelly was there. We had a lot of people there. And She got done reading it, and the judge picked up a piece of paper off of the bench, and he said, "You read a very remarkable statement." He said all these positive things. He said, "But I have a job to do." And he made sure to tell her, "You had no problem going. I took her on Bannon with me the night before with her children." And he brought that up. The prosecutors, they brought that up, you know, that she went on Bannon, and he just was so angry about it. "I have a job to do. 5 years."
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And not because of anything she actually did, but because of her political opinions and the
yeah.
shows that she's on. And we're gonna have to take a break here in just a minute. But when we come back, you know, I want to talk to you about, amongst other things, the current situation, the conviction rate, amongst other things. And when you mention getting a fair trial, you know, the 45th president of the United States is facing that same prospect right now. So we'll be back in just a minute with Cynthia Hughes of the Patriot Freedom Project.
Fighting against totalitarianism. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Mark McCloskey on Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about J6 and the persecution of patriots that participated in the rally in D.C. that day. And we're back with Cynthia Hughes of the Patriot Freedom Project. And by the way, she's got a new video out on Rumble. You can find it on Rumble at Due Process Denied Part 2. And you can support her cause and the cause of supporting the families persecuted and oppressed by our no longer free federal government at patriotfreedomproject.com. Well, tell us a little bit about what the process when your nephew Tim and the rest of these people that were entrapped by the government, tell us what happens when they get arrested.
So, you know, Mark, I get asked this question a lot, and I have to be, you know, honest and transparent. You know, some of the stuff that has come out of the D.C. jail is very embellished. And I need to make that clear. And some people, they don't like that. But we want to make sure the facts are out here. We want to make sure that people know the truth about what's going on. Right.
Absolutely.
So solitary confinement, absolute fact. Tim was in solitary confinement for more than a year, along with, you know, 50 or 52 other men. You know, the food, terrible. Is that a J6 thing? I don't think so, Mark. I think that's a prison thing. I think that's a jail thing. You know, COVID restrictions, absolutely. They were denied religious services. They were denied grooming services. Somebody staged a protest at the Capitol on the one-year anniversary, or prior to the one-year anniversary. It was like in the month of September. And these guys were taken from their cells. They were brought to the basement of the jail. They were held there for hours, no bathroom break, nothing to drink, you know, and being, you know, punished because of this rally that was taking place at the Capitol, which was probably a mistake. Even President Trump spoke out about it. He said it was a bad idea. And these guys were punished. And so they were denied access to their lawyer. They were denied access to their family. There were no family visits. There were no video visits. You know, these guys were sleeping on a 1-inch thick mattress, no pillow. If you had a medical condition, you were not getting, you know, help with medical. You know, Tim had an awful earache in there, and he had a lot of issues seeing a doctor. Jeff McKellop, he had a terrible abscess tooth. Could not get to a dentist. And if you've ever had a toothache, Mark, you know it's enough to make you bang your head into the wall. And he had to get like a paperclip and break the abscess open in his mouth to get relief. Mm-hmm. So these are very serious things. You know, chemicals in the food? No. Brown water? No. But those are small things in comparison to the things that I just told you. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're not possible to happen, but they're just not, they weren't happening the way people were explaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and the average person probably doesn't realize that these folks around the country would be arrested in their hometowns and then jailed in their hometowns, but that didn't persist, correct?
No. So, you know, you would get arrested, you know, in your own town. You know, you'd get this crazy raid upon your home. In the very beginning of the whole January 6th debacle, I mean, people's homes were getting raided. Children were being subjected to their doors being kicked in, flashbangs being thrown into their homes, watching, their fathers getting arrested, watching their mothers, crying. It was very traumatizing. That's the biggest thing for me is the children that are caught up in this.
Yeah.
Because this is trauma. This is trauma. I had trauma when I was a child. I had a very rough childhood. Tim had a rough childhood. You know, you have to be able to survive trauma. And if you don't, you grow up to be an adult and you bring that trauma with you. And so for these kids, because I've met so many of these kids and I've been in their homes, a lot of them have been in my home, have been here to my home. They're great kids and they're kids that are going without now. You have children that no longer have health insurance and you have children that maybe can't go to summer camp because mom only has one income coming in the house. Mm-hmm. You have children that are not only separated from their fathers because their fathers are behind bars, they're separated from mom because mom is now working two jobs. So that is the biggest to me, that is huge.
Yeah. And you know, just the concept of doing years in prison for, you know, what the average January 6er was accused of, which is being in government proper, restricted area without permission, or parading without a license, being on in Capitol grounds. And then in order to make these things felonies and in order to establish a reason to keep these folks behind bars for years and decades, in the case of some of them, they use this enhancement under Section 1512 that we talked about earlier. I was going to read it for our audience, just so they get an idea of what a bogus charge this is, because you gotta just appreciate how evil this government is and how far they will go to try to find a way to punish people for standing up for themselves. And as I always say on this program, the only unforgivable crime in America today is standing up against the left, and that's one thing they'll never forgive you or forget. But here is the statute. This is 15. Title 18, Section 1512, C2, makes it a crime of whoever corruptly, whatever corruptly means, 1, alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, or, and this is what they use in the J6ers, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 20 years, or both. 20 years. In the majority of the people that have been convicted under that, if they were in state court in Missouri doing the exact same thing, they wouldn't even get a fine. They wouldn't get a night in jail. They'd get a ticket for trespass and a summons to show up at trial sometime down the road in the city of St. Louis. If you didn't show up, nobody'd ever care. But here, 20 years in prison. But the Supreme Court heard arguments on that this week.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court heard argument, on the Fisher case, the Joseph Fisher case, just this past Tuesday. The lawyer for Joseph Fisher, he presented a decent argument. It was brief and short. The justices spent more time, really grilling the DOJ, their representative. And I love Judge Gorsuch when he said, he referenced, the comparison between, C1 and C2 and how it's being used. I mean, the DOJ basically admitted that they are using this specifically against January 6th defendants. Now, keep in mind, let me go back to Justice Gorsuch. He mentioned how would the comparison be, somebody who came into, a Supreme Court hearing and heckled, State of the Union and heckled. Like, he referenced all things that have recently happened. And yep. Then he said, anybody that would pull a fire alarm, Congressman, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that was really brave of him.
Yeah.
I feel hopeful that it's going to get overturned. And if it does, you know, my nephew will no longer be a convicted felon once it gets overturned. And
yeah.
lots of people won't be.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, you know, when, you know, this charge that they're using, it is a documents kind of charge. It should not be being used at all. It's being used in a very weaponized way.
Well, and you were saying it's an important point that at the time that Tim entered the Capitol building, Congress was actually adjourned.
Yes, Congress was adjourned when Tim went inside the Capitol. And they still used, you know, the obstruction of an official proceeding against him and many, many others.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned earlier, we had a really great lawyer at sentencing because the prosecution was trying to give Tim 8 years in prison. So we knew we had to bring a different lawyer in. So we brought in Attorney Nick Smith, who's a great lawyer out of New York, practices in Virginia, in D.C., Jersey. He's phenomenal. He is the lawyer that wrote the an appeal on behalf of Garrett Miller. Garrett Miller is a J6 defendant in Texas who was being charged with the 1512. And he wrote the appeal and argued on the 1512 in front of the appeals court. And they upheld Judge Nichols' decision to dismiss the 1512 in all of Judge Nichols' cases. Mm. And so thank God for Attorney Nick Smith, because that's how we got in front of the Supreme Court on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, no, that's you know, that's great. And I hope it happens. A lot of people will have that that conviction reversed. But, you know, of course, there are people that actually, well, let me back up and say it this way. If you listen to the mainstream media, they will still say to this day that five people died as a result of the J6 insurrection, when in fact the only person that died was Ashley Babbitt. And what's the story there, right? Her mom gets arrested about every day just for protesting the fact that they murdered her daughter. And that's how totally bass-ackwards our government is right now, that people who are actually the victims of government violence get arrested for protesting, and peaceful protesters go to prison for years. It just makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
It's true. And, you know, as I'm listening to you and I'm remembering that you live in the great state of Missouri, didn't you recently have, like, a very controversial fight between two young ladies, and, you know, the kid, you know, was unconscious for a long time. I mean, I bring that up because, you know, a person like Tim Hale should have never been in jail to begin with and should have never been denied bonds. And I mean, he was in pretrial detention for more than a year before he even went to trial. And then you would see something like this fight that I mentioned to you. And I mean, I know she's a young girl, but I mean, she violently, you know, really hurt that kid. And yeah. I'm sure she's not in jail.
Yeah, you know, I played that video on my show last week. That's Kaylee Gain, and she, you know, had skull fracture, brain bleeding. It was horrible. I did a whole segment last time on different kids beating each other, or, you know, just this culture of violence which has swept the country. But, you know, more on the J6. The quote, summer of love, when BLM was burning and pillaging all around the country, including at the White House, including at St. John's Church, including federal buildings, and including, you know, federal offices and police departments. None of those people are getting 5 years in jail. And in fact, the vice president of the United States was hoping bail them out of jail so they could go and riot the next day. You know, when you say things like, you know, they're using 1512 the wrong way. They're not doing it the wrong way. They're doing it exactly the way they want to, and that is to make to terrorize the average human being and say that if you stand up for your rights, if you stand up for strong political opinions, to the extent we disagree with those opinions, we will crush you and we will destroy your lives and we will bankrupt you and we will terrorize your family and we will not give up until we've intimidated the entire population. That's why I'm proud to have somebody like you on the program that's standing up to it. Tell us what Patriot Freedom Project does to help the families of J6 defendants.
Well, if I could real quick before I tell you that, you know, look at Matthew Perna. Matthew Perna, I've gotten very, very close with the Perna family. Jerry and I are, you know, we call each other soul sisters. We're very close. We talk every day. That family is never going to be the same. You know, Matt He was facing 3 to 6 months in jail until they decided to hit him with a terroristic enhancement. And then it went to, 6 years in jail. And, he couldn't bear the thought of that. And so he ended his life. Nobody talks about that. Nobody is pushing that or discussing that. That's a big topic that we should be talking about. You know, it's tragic what happened to Ashley Babbitt. It's equally as tragic what happened to Matthew Perna. And, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but before Louie Gohmert left Congress, he proposed a new bill, the Matthew Perna Act, the Matthew Lawrence Perna Act. And not many people know about this bill. And this bill covers due process. It covers the right to, a speedy trial. It covers, the fact that you should not be held in jail if you have no criminal history and you're charged with a nonviolent crime. People hear Matthew Lawrence Perna and they right away they think, it's something about suicide. It's about the things that have been denied to people like my nephew, Tim. He was denied all three of those things. Yeah. So it's a very, very important bill. And Congress really needs to consider this bill. And they all need to be very familiar with it. And they're not. Marjorie Taylor Greene recently re-proposed it to Congress. And she did a press conference with Jerry. And I accompanied them both. And she's the only one. Nobody is co-signing this bill with her.
Yeah. And Congressman Green and Louie Gohmert are really the only people that have taken an active role in trying to help the J6ers, to my knowledge. And I know that, for example, my buddy Ryan Zink, when he was in jail, his dad was trying to get any congressman to pay attention to it. And it's just like deaf ears up there on the Hill.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it still is. It still is. And I'll tell you, you have a president, a beloved president, who's, on trial for his life, if you will, in the first of many trials, and they're using, the 1512 against him, in the D.C. Case against him. If the 1512 gets overturned, I mean, it's not going to bring Matthew Perna back, but it could help a lot of these defendants and definitely will help, President Trump. And it needs to be really considered by the Supreme Court, and the Matthew Perna Act also needs to be considered in Congress.
All right. Well, in 15 seconds, tell us what we can do to help you out and what we can do to support the Patriot Freedom Project.
So anybody can visit the PatriotFreedomProject.com. We're looking for donations. Our donations that we take in go to the families, the children. We help with legal fees. We help with appeals. We make sure the housing expenses are covered for these families. We make sure Christmas happens, Thanksgiving, back to school, Halloween, you name it. We're helping with COBRA payments for kids who have lost their health insurance. And just, making sure these women can, and men, because there's women in jail and men are home with the kids, can keep their heads, above water. We have a documentary out, a three-part documentary. We have the fourth one that'll come out the end of the year. But if you go to dueprocessdenied.org, you could see part one there. Part two and part three will be added very soon. You could see the trailers. You could see where you could purchase our book, Due Process Denied. All support, that comes in, it goes to these families.
I appreciate it. You're doing great work, and I applaud it, and I hope we can get a lot of support for you through this broadcast, and we'll have you back on. We're running out of time here, but I appreciate everything you're doing, and it is such a travesty this country has gone from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the kind of totalitarian, anti-democratic, anti-republican government that we now have.
It's scary, Mark. It's very scary. Everybody needs to pray and pray for President Trump.
Absolutely. And you said earlier the former president, and I take issue with that.
I'm sorry. You're right. And I shouldn't have said that. And I hope he doesn't hear this because he'll take issue with it too.
Well, thanks for being on the program, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Cynthia Hughes of the Patriot Freedom Project. Go online, patriotfreedomproject.com, and help this young lady out. She is doing a lot for the J6ers. We'll be right back.
Fighting against the New World Order. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Mark McCloskey. On Fire. You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, it's been an interesting week in this no longer land of the free or home of the brave. Amongst other things, the Director of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, gets impeached by the House of Representatives, and they send the articles of impeachment over to the United States Senate, which, pursuant to their constitutional duties, have a right or duty to try a person who is subject to articles of impeachment by eliciting evidence, considering it, and making a decision. Now, you recall that when President Trump was in his first term as president, the left decided to impeach him. They had a majority in Congress, and they decided to file articles of impeachment. And there was a trial in the Senate, and there were all these show trial tactics, and everybody stood up and did their 5 minutes of bull, you know what. It went on and on and on and on over absolutely nothing, right? Over a phone call with a Ukrainian president, amongst other things. And this, but now we've got the Director of Homeland Security, who's bringing in millions, count them, millions, maybe 10, 15 million illegal aliens, contrary to the law, breaking the law established by Congress, breaking the laws signed into law by former presidents, by just flagrantly ignoring his duty as Director of Homeland Security, engaging in what I would consider to be treason, in intentionally undermining the territorial integrity of the United States. Sounds like a pretty gosh darn good reason to impeach him to me. But the Senate says, eh. Chuck Schumer says, I don't think this is a high crime or misdemeanor, so we're not going to investigate it. We're not going to have a trial. We're not going to vote. Shut it down. One day. You know, when the Republicans had a majority in the Senate, I don't remember the Republican senators doing that, because we're all just a bunch of weenies. We're all just a bunch of people that don't want to toe the line, that don't want to stand up, that don't want to actually do anything effective. Like, for example, our current Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, who pushes for the reauthorization of the FISA courts and is the deciding vote to vote down a requirement that the United States government has to get a warrant to spy on its own citizens. We have a Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution that says that we should not be subject to unreasonable searches and seizures, and that any search warrant has to be based upon affidavit and specifically identifying the places and things to be searched and seized. And then we have the Republican Speaker of a Republican majority, House of Representatives, who votes with the Democrats and is the deciding vote to not require a warrant for the government to spy on us, to listen to our phone calls, to listen to our cell phones, to listen to the to our television sets, to investigate, to surveil everything that we say and do. And this is a Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives. The same Speaker of the House of Representatives is wanting to push through, at a time when our borders are completely open, at a time when we're bringing in millions of illegal aliens, at a time when we are flying in under the, quote, parole, unquote, program. Last year, 337,000 aliens into this country, not knowing anything about them, not vetting them, and distributing them throughout the country. While we're doing this, and we have a completely open border, and we've abdicated responsibility for our territorial integrity in this country, what's Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, doing? He's attempting to force down the throat of his Republican fellows an aid package of $60 billion to Ukraine to secure their borders. Because why? Because there is this insatiable thirst for war amongst the people in D.C., whose funding comes from, guess what, the military-industrial complex, which, guess what, makes trillions with a T off of war. And the subcontractors and the security and the private armies and everything else that get funded downstream from the federal military budget make millions and billions and trillions of dollars. And by the way, there is nothing that the powers that be in D.C. and the mainstream media want more right now than a war with Russia. Why? What could be more possibly self-destructive than that? But we've got the Antony Blinken last week saying that Ukraine is going to be invited into NATO, that Ukraine is going to become part of NATO. Russia has already said that's a red line. That means war. I mean, that means World War III. That means pretty much the death of everybody you know, pretty much the end of everything that you would call civilization, pretty much let's talk stone knives and bearskins and the Middle Ages again. Let's talk turning the world into a nice glowing cinder. But these people aren't thinking. They're not rational. The people that have the real power hate our country, hate individual liberty, hate freedom. And the people that ostensibly run the country, meaning our elected officials, that are nothing more than the hand puppets for the real powers, what they want isn't what's good for the people, isn't what's good for our republic. What they want is good for their reelection campaign and the millions of dollars they're going to make as lobbyists when they eventually get too old and feeble to get reelected. If getting too old and too feeble to get reelected is a concept that actually exists in this country these days, considering we've got the president of the United States, the ostensible president of the United States, who can't tell where the hell he is most of the time and stands there and mumbles platitudes. Well, I'll digress, but my favorite scene from this week is President Trump pushing his Secret Service out of the way so he can go and mix with a crowd at a bodega. And then you got the ostensible President Joe Biden staggering into a quickie mart at a gas station like a zombie with his dead look in his eyes, shuffling forward, going up to shake the hand of the man behind the counter while his staff is hustling the people away from, back up, get back, go back, go back. You can't get near our zombie-in-chief, because he might have to actually say something that makes sense under the circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, we allow this to happen. I won't quote you the Declaration of Independence anymore. I won't say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, securing their just powers from the consent of the governed. And I won't remind you that when we have a senile old fart as president, as the figurehead of a government that's doing everything on earth to destroy your freedoms, the way that happens is that we consent to it. The way that happens is we allow it to happen. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks from now, when the biased jury comes back in front of the biased judge in New York City and convicts Donald Trump of what? Of an accounting error, if that's what it was, of something which I do for a living every day as a personal injury lawyer, is I make a claim against people. They deny it. They pay me money to make that claim go away on behalf of my clients. That's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. 34 felony counts for doing what every lawyer does every day. But when that jury comes back and finds Donald Trump guilty, because they will, because they're a biased jury, half the jurors already said that they couldn't be fair to Donald Trump, and the other half were lying when they said they could. When he comes back and gets convicted, you imagine what happens when that son of a gun judge says the defendant, meaning Donald John Trump, will be remanded to the Department of Corrections? Are we going to allow that to happen? Are we going to stand by and let them take our president to jail under these completely bogus charges? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we do permit that to happen, then we deserve to have that happen. We deserve to live in this totalitarian society where your political opinions, if you happen to be in D.C. on January 6th, will lend you years in jail. And if you should have the audacity to run for president and win and be immune from the influence of the swamp, they will persecute you, they will prosecute you, they will attempt to bankrupt you, and they will do everything they can to see you spend the rest of your life in prison. And ladies and gentlemen, if we allow that to happen, we deserve it to happen to us. And, you know, there are so many things wrong with our society today. My wife wanted me to mention this because we're Catholics. There is a Jesuit university in St. Louis here where we live called St. Louis University. It's allegedly a Catholic school. Well, a couple of years ago, Matt Walsh, who is probably a conservative voice, at least that's what I'm told, the students wanted him to come and give a presentation there. And I think it was even going to be off campus. One of the kids, one of the college students, was suspended from the university for putting up a announcement poster off campus on a signpost because it was so offensive to the morality of these good Catholics that run St. Louis University to allow a conservative voice to be heard and to promote that conservative voice to be heard by posting a flyer off campus that student had to be suspended. Okay. Well, guess what? Guess who's coming to St. Louis University to give us a good speech on morality and a clean, healthy lifestyle? Dylan Mulvaney, the thing that bankrupted Bud Light. I don't know what the hell he really is. I'd like to, if I were, I'd say this to people. I don't mean this literally, so don't have me arrested, but I'd like to have some people pull his pants down and see what's still there between his legs, because if he wants to pretend to be a girl, he'd better have that stuff sliced off, man, and I'd like to see some evidence of that. But, you know, you're never even allowed to ask that question. I say this all the time about Bruce Jenner. You know, you're not even allowed to ask Bruce if he still has his gonads, because that's dead testicling him. I don't know what would be the appropriate term. But I want to see him in a jar before I believe that Bruce Jenner's not still Bruce Jenner. And you gotta tell you how much that crushes my little heart as a former athlete myself. He got a guy who sets the greatest score of the decathlon in the history of the Olympics, and now in order to get a little extra press, he's pretending that he's a girl. I mean, don't you have any self-respect, son of a gun? You know, do you need money that bad? Do you need fame that bad? Do you need to be in the front pages so bad that you'll pretend to be a girl? Yeah, there's another set of pants I'd like to see pulled down. But, you know, don't get me wrong, God, not that kind of a guy. You know, and then you got the whole point of all of this is to distract us from the real picture. Whole point of all this is to do what Emil Durkheim called anomie, normlessness, to divest us from our traditional basis, divest us from the ties that bind, and create a quagmire of inconsistencies. In speaking of the quagmire of inconsistencies, there's this thing called the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is supposed to guarantee us freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. And the Republicans used to be advocates of freedom of speech until October the 7th of last year, when all of a sudden saying anything bad about Israel became what the conservatives on news media would like to call a criminal offense. They want colleges to prohibit anti-Israeli comments, prohibit pro-Palestinian statements. Then we got Pig Hegseth on Fox News this morning saying, what's next? Are they going to say it's, you know, the people ought to be allowed to say bad things about Catholics? The people ought to be allowed to say bad things about Christians? The people ought to be allowed to say bad things about white people? Well, hell yes. I mean, this was supposed to be a free country. If you advocate communist ideals, although I could not disagree with them more strongly if my life depended on it, you got a right to peacefully advocate for it. Same thing with Nazi ideas. Same thing with Palestinian ideas. You can't discriminate against who you want to discriminate against. If you believe in freedom, you have to believe in everybody's freedom. If you believe in freedom of speech, you have to believe in everybody's freedom to say whatever they believe, as long as they do it nonviolently, patriotically, and consistently with that constitutional provision that this is a free country. We have freedom of speech, and it doesn't matter what you say, you got a right to say it.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Join Mark McCloskey in the battle against globalism.
You're bloody well right. You know you're right to say.
Mark McCloskey on fire.
Yeah, you're bloody well right.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.